We have our lampstand here. The reminder, this is what we are. You know, it's funny, when I think about the church being a lampstand, I go back to the church at Ephesus, because that was the church Jesus particularly said, if you've left your first love, unless you repent, I'm going to take away your lampstand. So I think, oh, I must look at the lampstand. But God said, you know that all seven churches were lampstands. That was just the only one I mentioned it to. You know, every church in the book of Revelation, that, you know, the seven churches, they're all lampstands. He said, don't just focus on Ephesus like that was the lampstand. That was just, I just had to pull them into line. But because God has particularly spoken to our church, and he said, through a prophetic word that Pastor George Pearson's gave, and he said, you're just like that church at Philadelphia, speaking about the church in the book of Revelation. He said, just like that church, there's similarities to your church. And that's always been something that has worked in us, and we've taken hold of that and ministered to that. You can go and hear those prophecies. If ever wondering where we have any prophetic words that are given to us, you go to our Breakthrough website, and if you look up the top, there's team resources up the top, a little menu. Go in there, and then we've got resources for prayer. And for us, our resources are prophetic words. So there's both written down versions, and there's also the actual recordings at times. We've got Brother Jesse DePlantis, the word he gave over us regarding a building, with Pastor George Pearson's, and others. All right, so you can go in there and listen to those and use those as a prayer resource. But in one of them, he speaks about us being like the church at Philadelphia. And so the Philadelphian church is a lampstand, and this is like us here, where the church of Breakthrough, shining and taking the light of God where we go. And so I've been particularly thinking and looking at that, and I've discovered how that connects with the fact that the resurrection, how it works with that. But I just want to share something with you, because one of our roles this week is, as Caitlin said, to get the word out, to shine and the light. And we've got brochures here. In fact, can we hand these out, Mark? Just take one, we have lots, so you can get as many as you need afterwards, but I just want you to begin to pray. They're invitations to our neighbours in the streets around. We like to reach out and share with them, pray for them, but they can also be an invitation to your neighbour. You can say, hey, neighbour, your friend, whatever, you want to reach out to them. I was talking to Brooke yesterday, I think last night. She was talking about she and Jay were on a walk. They met someone, and they're having a discussion with that person about their car, you know, because Brooke's a real petrol head, as you sort of know. It was an unusual fancy car, and the guy was pretty pleased that they noticed it. And he was, you know, how many certain things in their life, if you take notice of it, they rise up and they just want to, you know, some people, it's their garden, or their kids, or their car. You know, there's something about them. To some people, do you know what one of the greatest ways to talk to someone and get them to open up is to ask them, what does that tattoo mean? Seriously, if you're going to get a tattoo, there's big reasons for it, and they do it so people can see it. And so if you say, what does that word mean, or why did you get that image, they like to tell you. Because it's like, you know, someone took notice of this. So you just find something unique about someone. And if someone's got a fancy car, they've obviously poured a lot of time into it. You know, someone, it might be their kid and their sporting ability. You just have to ask them, and out comes the phone. And you know, it's just different things. You can find something often if you just look and pay a little bit of attention to something they say, and you can find out about them. Because there'll be something that people like to talk about. Okay, it might not be what you like to talk about, it's what they like to talk about, so you can use that as an opportunity to find out about them. Anyway, so this guy had a car, and he was happy to talk about the car, but Brooke and Jay were happy to talk about the car, but they don't really know much about cars, but they were just happy. And Brooke said afterwards, she said, like, I just wanted so to know how I could sort of bring God into the conversation, and then the conversation was over, and they got in the car, and they drove off, and she's standing there like, I didn't get to do that. But then I could relate to that sort of sense of, I want to invite someone, but then has anyone ever been in that awkward, I think I should invite them. Then you have this huge conversation. Does anyone have conversations in their head? Some people don't. They're just amazing. They just go through life and they just think and do. Is anyone an overthinker? You know, I like what Josh said. You know, the Lord said to do this, and yes, but let me just have a little conversation about it first internally. What about this? And I've got to look this. And so I tend to do that. I'm one of those ones that the Lord says to do something, or I feel to do something, and then sometimes it's like, oh, actually, I feel to do it. Is the Lord telling me to do it? And then that's quite a conversation. If anyone had that, I think it's God, or is it me, or is it just God? How do I know? Do I try it? And sometimes I do it and I go, that was me. You know, I would love to say that every time I say, oh, I think that was, I wasn't sure, so I stepped out, and sure enough, it was God. Have you ever done that? Have you just taken a bold step, you've done it, and you say, that was God. I'm so glad I did that. Have you ever taken a step out because you weren't sure and discovered, that was me? I don't think that was God. But you know what? In order to find out sometimes the God ones, I've got to do the me ones because my heart's right and God can use it. You know, I remember one time there was a person, I was walking into a shopping center. I saw this sort of elderly person sitting by themselves, and it's like, I should go and talk to them about Jesus. I should go, oh, I don't know. Yeah. Should I? You know, through that, is it God? Yeah, I'm really like, what if it's not God? What's it going to hurt? You know, so I'm like, I'll do that. And I sat down and I said, oh, you know, can I tell you about Jesus? And they looked at me and they spoke in another language. And after a little bit, I realized, no English. So I was like, you know, bless you. Got up like, was that God? I don't think God, because I didn't get tongues to do, you know, maybe I should have prayed in tongues and seen if their eyes went up like. But I didn't think to do that. But I'm just saying, but I don't mind so much because if I've got to nail it every time, it makes it very narrow. I would like to nail it every time. And as long as I'm not doing something in rebellion, I'm not talking about filling a check and doing it anyway. I'm talking about when I'm unsure. So sometimes I just do it because you just never know. And sometimes by doing that, I train myself and, you know, I can learn a little bit better. That's me, that's God. And so that I can be obedient to when he does tell me something. But, you know, I was talking to Brooke about that internal, and I could relate, that internal conversation. And how many know when you're standing there, often you get these voices speaking, and sometimes they're your own thoughts. Sometimes I think they're the enemy getting on your shoulder who has a little script. When anyone thinks about sharing Jesus with someone, quick. You could offend them. You're just being guilty. You've got no time. You're going to, you know, have any, you know, they run through this list. And I don't want to be that person. I've had people come up to me. I remember one time someone invited me that I'd sort of building a bit of a friendship with another guy from another church. And he said, oh, you know, come and have coffee. I thought, oh, this is good. This, you know, go on, so get to know me. And he's sitting down there and he noticed. And he said something, and he said, oh, I notice you've got a skin condition. And I'm like, oh, that's, you know. And I just thought, he's going to pray for me. He was a Christian. I thought, this is nice. And he looked at me and goes, you know, there's an ointment that I can recommend. Okay, that's okay. He happens to be the seller of that ointment. And happens as a chain of ointments. And he was looking to recruit me as one of his representatives. You know, one of those ones where you do all the work and they get the money. Christine used to be a rep for Avon, and she used to work hard and do a lot of good and consume all her profits in buying products. And sometimes it would be negative, like, how could I sell all this stuff and still owe them money? Where, you know, and all my work and phone calls and everything else. So, you know, those types of schemes where they, you know, if you work hard, it's really good for the person up the chain. I can't explain exactly how I felt, but it was pretty disappointed. I felt used. I felt exploited. Like, you don't care about me. I'm a number now for you. And so I'm always got that in the back of my mind. I don't want to reach out to someone with that sort of, I'm actually exploiting you. But the fear of doing that can actually hold me back from doing the good times and reaching out. So I want to give you, when you have those thoughts and those concerns and those worries, I want to give you five things that can be in the back of your head. This is just sort of we might get to our sermon, we might not. We'll do this as a prelim. This is the prelim to the sermon. But if we don't get to the sermon, that'll be coming next week. So, because I just want, you're going to be inviting people. I don't want you to have these conversations at the back of your head and not have answers for them, because you need to have other things that you're hearing when you're facing this. So I'm going to give you five things. They all start with the letter P. All right, that's it. Yeah, the P. Think of my name, Peter. They all start with the letter P. And you need to have these thoughts and you need to focus on them. The Bible says whatever is pure, whatever is good, whatever is right, think on these things, because those other thoughts will lock you into fear. There's fearful thoughts. There's thoughts that will undermine your ability to step out in boldness. And you don't actually want to be sort of so locked in that you don't step out, because I have discovered there's great joy in being obedient to God and talk. And sometimes you go, and I've, some of the best moments of my life have been sharing with someone and that opportunity. And if I'd held back, I wouldn't have it. Not everyone I've spoken to in my life has not spoken English. There's been lots of other good opportunities and doors that have just opened. But sometimes you've got to push against other things before you get that. And here's five things I've found is helpful in order to just annul those wrong thoughts are going to try and rob me at that time. First of all, the first one is to remember that they're a person. And this is particularly if you're inviting someone that you don't know. If you're inviting someone you do know, you probably do know that they're a person. You know a bit about their background. But, you know, when you bump into someone, I've only known them for, 2 minutes. But they've got as much history in their life as I've got in my life. And it's just sometimes in my zeal, I can forget that they're not just someone I'm inviting, that they're a person. And that's why the things that they love, the passions that they have, that's why I will stop. And if someone's serving me and I see, that they've got a name written over there, there is, I say, who's that? Now, not every one opportunity turns into an opportunity to share about Jesus. But I'm actually genuinely interested in them as a person, because that's where it starts. They're a person first, and then an opportunity to share about Jesus second, not just someone to share, not just to say, I get to testify and say, I brought them. No, they're a person, and they've got a whole history behind them. You're not going to learn all about it, but sometimes it's, you don't know whose grandparents have been praying for them and what they've been through, even what they've had to go through. But their whole life, and I've got my whole life, and we've just intersected at this moment. So I just remember, as much as I've got this history, they've got a history. And I just want to connect with them and be maybe a part of the journey for this moment. Maybe, who knows, there's someone, you can meet someone today and you don't know that person's going to be part of your life for the next 40 years. Maybe for the rest of your life, There's one day, Cam walked into the church. And Caitlin's life was changed, even though she didn't fully know it at that time. Yeah. Caitlin's brother's life was changed too. I think Jay fully believes that Cam has actually come to be for his benefit, and the fact that he got to marry Caitlin was like a side benefit. Just good for you guys. If that worked out, that's good. But even if it didn't, he's still staying in the church. You realize that, But you just don't know. Sometimes, now I don't want you to look at every person and say, okay, it's a lifelong friendship starting. But it starts sometimes in the very, unusual way. Think about the first time you met someone. And now you look back and think, oh, I've known this person for so many years, and it started just as a little conversation, and now look where it's developed. I've gone to the football with them, or we've traveled, we've done holidays together. Things like this. This has developed into something. So see them as a person. I'm not saying everybody that you join you're going to have a lifelong connection with. I'm not going to say that every. Will you marry my daughter? You know, I'm not looking for that. You know what I mean? That's like, that's not the purpose. But you start with realizing that they're a person. Jesus died for people. He had the amazing capacity to know each person and fully understand them. He says, God knows us to the point where he's got the hairs on our head numbered. That's just, he just knows them. So even if I don't know them to that extent, obviously, I come with that recognition. They're known to God. They're not just and I might only know them for a few minutes, but in those few minutes, if necessary, I will give them the honor and the acknowledgement that they're created by God in his image. They're a person. They might have messed up. They might be making some stupid decisions, but at least I acknowledge that they're a person born that God loves and God died for, and give them respect. Even if they don't receive what I say, I still really see them as a person. And I can pray and believe that one day they will, but it doesn't change that. So number one, they're a person. The other thing, and this is one that I battle, is, I remember talking to Jay, and he was actually really brought this home to me many years ago. Jay's like, oh, wow. What did he yesterday say? Take notes. It must have been good. Sometimes we invite people on the premise that they're going to reject it. Or, you know, like, come to church. I know you're probably busy on Sunday. I know you've got a lot of stuff on. I know you're probably not interested in coming to church. But if, I'd like you still to come if possible. So I'm asking you, really seeing that you're really not interested. And I'm trying to push through that. And that's because some people are not interested. But I want you to say, number two is perhaps. Perhaps God has been working in their heart. Perhaps I am this step where someone is looking for something. Perhaps I'm the voice that they need to hear at this time, and they actually are interested. Because sometimes we, through a few rejections, you can approach them and you're almost pushing them back. You're actually talking to them as if they're going to reject it. Instead of saying, you know what, perhaps they've been thinking about God. And Jay was the one who talked to me. He said, you know, he was inviting some friends and sending a text. And he thought, you know what, I'm inviting them with a real sense of, I know they're going to reject this. And I'm embarrassed to ask, but I just feel I don't need to. Instead of saying, hang on a sec, maybe, perhaps God has been working on their heart. And we came to find out, we actually had a testimony of one of the people Jay had sent a text to. We found out like 12 months later, he said, you don't know what I was going through when I got your text. And it was just what I needed. It was a perhaps. And Jay was, and Jordan, am I right? You felt pretty ordinary.
Well, I literally, as soon as I threw my phone to the other side of the room and walked out, I was too scared to catch.
So he sent the text and threw his phone away because he was too scared to see what they would say. You know what I mean? It's just like, but found out later that was just what they needed and just what helped them through a very difficult time. And they did not say, thank you, I needed that, 12 months later. But perhaps, so you got to get it in your mindset, perhaps, you know, because the enemy will say they don't want it, you're just forcing it on them, if you know, you're pushing on them. And they say, but perhaps God's been stirring their heart. Perhaps something has happened to them. Perhaps something has been working in there, and I'm just at the right moment. I've got to see that what I do now here is the seed, the word going out. Remember the parable? The sower went out to sow. I would love to be the sower that saves 3/4 of my seed, because I just sow it exactly right. And I only have to use 25% because I get it in the ground that's good and going to give me 30, 60, 100-fold. But it said the sower went out to sow, and some of it landed on the hard ground. And some of it landed on ground that was rocky and the roots couldn't penetrate. And some of it landed on the ground that got choked up by the weeds. But some of it landed in a good and open heart that received it deeply and brought 30, 60, 100-fold fruit. So Jesus didn't say, don't waste my word. Be very particular. Don't give this person 15 minutes because it might just be hard ground. If you pray for someone or invite someone who, if they don't receive you, well, you've done the wrong thing. You've obviously missed it. You've wasted time. He didn't say that about the sower. He said, you sow the seed and then you just, some seed you know will get on the good ground. But I can tell you, 100% of the seed that stays in your little bag produces nothing. If you get it out and you never know, perhaps this is the person who God's been working in their heart. You don't know what they've done. You don't know what's happened. And sometimes you can be surprised how much people who are not Christians or not in church are thinking about God. Sometimes like, well, they don't think about God, but others do. I met a guy a little while ago, and I said something about church, Jesus, and he said, oh, yeah, Jesus is great. You know what I mean? He said, Jesus saved me here, and Jesus did this, and the other guy. And then he went to interest me a friend, and he said, yeah, I had a dream. He said he was praying. He prayed because he had a church background when he was a child, but he's not involved now. But he'd prayed for his elderly, his adult son, going through something. And he said he didn't know what was happening. And then he had a friend. How about this? A friend who was in an operation, died in the operation, went to heaven, then was brought back. Didn't tell anybody because they didn't want to freak them out. And they met them at a wedding or something. And she said, she brought me over and she said, I saw your son in heaven, like adult son. He died, gone to heaven. And he told me this. And he said, that was the prayer. 2 weeks earlier, he'd prayed, God, I got to know this. She said, I didn't tell anyone on the operating system because I didn't want them to be freaked out. But actually died. And I saw this, and I saw your son. And he came and told me something to tell you. So I came and told him. That was the answer I needed. How could you orchestrate that? But that's happening to someone outside of here. You don't think perhaps that they're ready to hear something? You don't know what they, you know, you sort of presume everybody's just got no thought for God. They are praying and they are getting supernatural. That's probably a bigger miracle than we've sort of experienced in our church maybe that week. Someone dying, seeing something, coming back and telling someone a miraculous connection that gave them something from God. That's happening out there. Perhaps you can connect with that. Why do we need to connect with this? Because the Bible says, without someone being sent so they can speak and declare the words, they can't link their faith with that. They're having experiences, but with no one giving the word, they can't connect their experience with faith and get saved and actually get hold of God. It just becomes an experience that they don't know what to do with. Or they just imagine, or they have thoughts, they just presume. But the word comes, connects with that. But just perhaps. So you've got to say, first of all, what's the first one? They're a person. They're people. They're a person. What did I say, people? Just say a person, because you're probably not talking to people unless you're one of those big evangelists. Remember, they're people. Probably just one. So call them a person. They're a person. Perhaps they are at the right point where God has broken open that hard ground and they can receive you. Then, number three, this is to give you boldness. God has a plan for them. God has a plan for them. He planned to get them saved and healed and made whole. You can be part of that plan. That person could be hurting. Plan is for them to get healed. But without someone stepping into that situation and inviting them and bringing them, you don't have to do it all there. You could just invite them. They could come to church and they could get some healing. I was part of God's plan. They could get saved. You could be part of that plan. They could get their family saved. You're now part of that plan. That's an awesome plan to be a part of. But you've got to recognize that there's a plan that you can be a part of that goes way beyond this moment. It's not just about what's happening right now. It's what could be happening. So they're a person. Perhaps I can then be part of the plan that God has for them. The next one is that you need to be sometimes the piece, you know, the puzzle piece maybe, the puzzle piece. We want it all to be me doing everything. But sometimes I'm just one piece in a puzzle that God is working in their life. It's one of my favorite stories, and I share it often. A church in California, pastor shared the story how there was a couple, gave this testimony. They were traveling through, and they stopped for lunch. And someone from the church came and asked them, can they share Jesus with them? And they said yes, and they received and they were open, and they received Jesus. That's like the perhaps. But they said, afterwards, they said, the reason we said yes is we were there to have lunch, and you were the third person that approached us while we were having lunch and asked us if we can share Jesus with you. He said, the first person, we said, no, we're not interested. We're just having you here for lunch. The second person, we said, no, we're not interested because we're just here to have lunch. But when a third person asked them, they suddenly thought, maybe we should be interested. You know what I mean? So, you know, like it's like, we must be on God's radar. What's the chances of three different people asking us while we're sitting here? So they asked the third person to explain and they got saved. I always wanted to go and find the first person and the second person and tell him how valuable they were, even though they were rejected. And they might never know, unless they hear that testimony, they say, oh, maybe that was me. But maybe they'll never know. Maybe it won't be till the heaven, they get to heaven, they say, you remember that time you went and asked someone? And they said, no, we're not interested. And you thought, oh, that's a bit of a failure. Felt a bit embarrassed by that. Maybe I shouldn't have sown that seed. You know, now they think Christians are pushy. They just think all Christians are pushy. What have I done? What have I done? He said, no, without you being a part of the puzzle, there's no third person. You can't say, well, why didn't the third person just go and share? Well, if they did, they would have only been the first. And they would have gotten in the car and driven off. You needed the obedience of two people that were willing to ask and not get any results from it. It looks empty. But just simply the fact that someone showed cared in them. And you don't know what piece of the puzzle you are sometimes. All right? So when you're looking and you're saying, oh, you say, well, Lord, I don't have to do anything except be my piece. This is not about me being necessarily even successful. My piece is to ask and share and show some interest in them as a person. All right? First of all, say, they're a person. And you might even just say, can I pray for you? That's, you know, just because I care of you as a person, not because I'm using it as any technique or anything, because I just genuinely care and maybe I can take the blessing I've got. No, I'm in a privileged spot. I get to enjoy praying for people and seeing them receive answers to prayer. And I'm not talking about me. I'm saying that's you. You know how to use prayer effectively. You know how we know how prayer works. We have been given the promise. What, abide in me, my word abides in you. Whatever you ask in my name, I'm going to do for you so you can be fruitful. We've got that. We can use that. So I can use that for someone who doesn't have that opportunity. To some people, prayer means lighting a candle or throwing up a wish list, or they don't even know what to do. You know how to pray. Give them that opportunity. But you see them as a person, you say, I might be praying. So anyone remember the four? They're a person? Perhaps. There's a plan and they're a puzzle. You're a puzzle piece. I'm, They're not the puzzle. You are the puzzle piece. You're the piece of the puzzle to them. And then the last one, I think, is a really good one to remember. Because I always get this. But what if they reject it? What if they're rude? Most times, they won't be rude. Especially if you're inviting someone who's a neighbor. But even asking a friend or a neighbor, they can be a bit rude. Ask someone at work, they can put you back in your place. And, oh, that's awkward. Now I've got to meet them in the lunchroom and, you know, been there, done that. I saw someone at the bus stop. Oh, I really should witness, you know, you go two blocks down. Yeah, I really do this. Go drive around, find a car spot, go down and say, hey, ever thought about going to church? Whoa, I take that to no. You don't get to hear what I heard. But I'm pretty sure he was saying no. How about getting in the car and drive off? Wow, that's rejection. What if they reject you? Well, you've got to actually have this answer. What if they do reject you? Seriously. So they rejected you. Don't even waste the tear in the car. Not your problem. They hurt his. No, well, they don't have to hurt your feelings. That's the thing. I treated them as a person. Perhaps. But you know what? Perhaps they weren't the open ground. They were the hard heart. I know God's got a plan for them. But maybe I was just the puzzle piece. Didn't sound like I was a puzzle piece. But, you know, I don't know how rude that couple were to the first two people. They didn't say, I'm not ready yet, but I'll wait two more people. I really appreciate, you know, I wouldn't be right. Listen, I'm not ready to receive what you're saying now, but I want to encourage you. You're doing a good job. Keep it up. You know, I'm just not, my heart's not ready to open fully. But boy, your witness is inspiring me, stirring me. You don't get that, do you? You're not going to get that. But perhaps. That's why you've got to have the perhaps, not the they will. If you can only sow seed on the hearts of those that are open, it becomes too hard. I tell you that. If you can only invest in this in people that will receive it, it's too hard. Because you've got to be like Superman. And you've got to be better than Jesus, who stood up and preached and had some people reject him and some get angry with him and some receive him. And you say, oh, Jesus, if you're as good as me, you'd be so good that you'd only share the word with those whose hearts are open to you. Sometimes you share and the person, I'm not ready to receive that. You say, what have I done wrong? Well, if you can't have people saying no or walking away from it, you're thinking you're better than Jesus. Remember the rich young ruler came to him? Jesus actually made it hard and the guy walked off. Jesus, I need to advise you how to do this. Was he like, oh, my whole ministry is terrible? No, he said, that's just what happens. And if it happens to Jesus, it's going to happen to you. So you need to have the attitude when you get that thought, what if they reject me? You go, what if they do? What's so? So? I'm a preacher. They become an illustration. I get fruit from it even if they don't want to make it fruit. It's a fun story to tell around the table at night. Thought I was doing the right thing, circled around three times, narrowed in, and wow. He was not ready to receive the gospel at that moment. But if you don't have the pfft, they will affect you and they'll stop you. You'll be too embarrassed to take a step just in case you get that rejection. Well, if you're treating them as a person, if you are, treating them as a person, perhaps, I'm doing this for the perhaps, because you never know. Now, I would like you to, you know, do a survey, just, you know, keep a rough survey. See if you invite multiple people where the 1 in 4 are open. That's sort of the numbers that Jesus sort of inferred, wasn't it? Just sort of, you say, oh, I don't want to be 1 in 4. Well, you be super Jesus and then you can preach your sermon how you can do 3 out of 4. But I'm just saying, you might have to be the 1 in 4, perhaps, and that's fine. You just never know. Just never know. You just got to put the seed out for each of them. Perhaps that one will get in. Number 3, there's a plan. God has a plan for them. Number 4, sorry? I didn't hear. I forgot. Puzzle piece. I was using you for my notes now, so okay, because I didn't write them down. Puzzle piece, exactly. You are a piece of the puzzle in their life. You don't know. And then the 5th one I do remember very clearly. So? Whatever. Next. Yeah, I remember a great evangelist who was a healing ministry, and someone interviewed him after the meeting, and they said, what would you ever do if you were laying hands on someone in the prayer line and they died whilst you're praying for them? You know what his answer was? He goes, I'd say next. As if, like, oh no, I've had a failure. Must stop the healing ministry. He'd just say, I'd say next. As if that stops what God's doing. As if I've got to have 100% before I can move on to someone else. He said, look at all the people that have been healed. That's why we do this, because there is faith and we move ahead. You know, knowing them, they'd probably like raise them from the dead too. But I'm saying they were just attacking that attitude as if you'd stop, wouldn't you? No, I wouldn't. I don't do this because, you know, and there's a part where it's like, God's called me to do it. That's why I do it.